الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected elders and brothers, the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem that I've recited before you is a very beautiful ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions therein that this is the gist of the ayat, that there will be two gardens of paradise, two jannats for a person who fears standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirat. The very famous commentator and tabi'i, Hazrat Mujahid rahmatullah alayh, he explains this ayat of the Qur'an-i Kareem and says, the meaning of fearing standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when a person is tempted to commit a sin, then solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and out of fear of being accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah, this person resists this temptation and does not commit the sin. It is for such a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises two jannats and two gardens of paradise. Hazrat Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi further explains and says that this fear should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if a person is in the privacy of his room or he is alone and he is tempted to commit a sin, and then there is no other obstacle, there is no other impediment in his path to commit the sin, and he is tempted in a manner in which that if he commits the sin, nobody will also come to know. And then suddenly he realizes that although no human will see me, but that being who granted all human beings and all creatures sight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-seeing, is watching me. And just out of this fear, he leaves out committing that sin. Then for such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises two jannats and two gardens of paradise. Look how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. For the person who fears standing before me. For the person who fears being accountable before me. For such a person, I have prepared two jannats and two gardens of paradise. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention that for a person who fears my punishment, my chastisement, or for a person who fears Jahannam. No. Teaching us that for a believer it is sufficient, this awareness that we are going to be accountable for our actions in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should be sufficient for a person to refrain. It should be sufficient for him to prevent him from committing that sin. It is quite evident in the cases of this world as well. If we, for example, have high esteem for some very pious person, or for some ruler of a country, or for some minister, then when we go into his presence, even if we are not sinful, or even if we have not disobeyed any law of the country, we are naturally awe-stricken. Why? What is this fear? This fear is that we should not do any action in this person's presence that may displease him. So similarly, when we can fear the creation to this extent, how much not should we fear the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah very beautifully explains this with an example, with his own example. And he says that my father, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, never raised his hands on me except once or twice in his whole life. In other words, he was very kind and he wasn't strict. But despite this, I had such awe for my father in my heart and such respect for him that when I used to pass by his room, my feet would tremble. In other words, because of the respect of his father, he used to fear that although I haven't committed any wrong, but it is possible that I may commit something, I may do an action that is not according to the status of my father. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another ayat of the Quran Kareem. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. That person who fears standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is just a gist of the verse, and prevents himself and prevents his evil desires and does not fulfill his evil desires, then for such a person the abode is Jannah. For such a person the abode is Jannah. So thus, my dear brothers and elders, there are many incidents in the life of the Sahaba Ikram showing this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in the lives of our akabirin and of our buzurganideen, our buzurganideen mention that the condition of the arifs, of those who have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is very similar in that they do not fear Jahannam merely because it is a hot blazing fire and merely because there is much chastisement and punishment there. But the real reason for them fearing Jahannam is that it is the sign and it is the place of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they fear Jahannam. And this subject has been very beautifully explained in the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a very beautiful dua that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, in which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah. O Allah, I seek your pleasure and I seek Jannah. I seek your pleasure and I seek Jannah. Here Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then mentions Jannah, indicating that the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the actual thing that we should desire. There is no problem and there is no harm in desiring Jannah as well. But the arifs and the real, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their status is such that they desire Jannah because it is the place of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, to mention, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ وَالنَّارِ. And I seek your protection from your displeasure, first your displeasure, and then from the fire of Jahannam. This gives the same meaning, that the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the thing that ought to be feared from. Although, to fear Jahannam, that is also a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted somebody the fear of Jahannam, and with this, he stays away from sins due to this fear, then that is also a great ni'mat. But the great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they fear Jahannam not just because it is a blazing fire, but because it is the place of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala protect us. There are many incidents in the life of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Tabi'een regarding the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very famous incident is that of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once he was doing his rounds in Medina Tayyibah, it was his habit to go around Medina Tayyibah during the night to see if there was anybody in need or anybody in difficulty, or to see if there was any wrong act that was being carried out and to stop that. So whilst on his round, he came across and he overheard the conversation of a mother and a daughter. The daughter was filling up milk to be sold the next day. So the mother directed her and instructed her that, oh my daughter, put some water into this milk to increase its quantity so that we may sell milk of a greater quantity and earn more remuneration. So the daughter said that The Amir al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an has prohibited us from doing this. We cannot do this. So the mother said that, but Hazrat Umar is not here at the moment. He will not see and he will not even know. So that young woman who was a very pious young woman said that Hazrat Umar is not here, but the Lord of Hazrat Umar is definitely here and he is seeing. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was so affected by this conversation of theirs that the next day he sent a proposal for his son to get married to that young daughter, to that young woman. And from this young woman's progeny was born Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, very famous, who is said to be the fifth khalif, the fifth rightly guided khalif. Similarly, there is another incident mentioned in Ruhul Ma'ani by Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayh, again of the era of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. There was a very pious young lad, young youth, a young person in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who would spend most of his time in the masjid in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It so happened that a young woman fell in love with this youth and then tried to seduce him. So when this young woman went to talk to this person was so overcome with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he let out a shriek and immediately fell unconscious. When he gained consciousness, this person, he asked those who were around him, and he said, please go to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and ask him, ma ajru man khafa maqama rabbih. Please go and ask Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an from my side, that what is the reward of that person who feared standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this relative of his was going towards Hazrat Umar, and whilst going, this person let out another shriek and passed away. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an came to find out about this incident, he went to the body of this youth, this young person, and looked at him and said, laka jannatan, O young person, you are asking what is the reward of a person who has feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward is that you will get two jannats. You will get two gardens of paradise. For people like you has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised two gardens of paradise. A third incident, also a very famous incident mentioned in the kitabs, is that once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was on a journey and his provisions had become exhausted. So nearby he saw a flock of sheep or goats grazing, and it was the custom of the Arabs at that time that they were very hospitable towards the travelers and the wayfarers. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an approached the person attending to this flock and requested him that could you give me some milk or some provisions from this flock. So that person attending to the flock said that, although you are a traveler and I would have liked to help you, but my problem is that this is not my flock. And I'm just tending to these sheep or goats. My master has ordered me and instructed me to tend to these sheep and goats. And these are just a trust in my custody. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was very pleased with this answer of his. And he realized that this person is a muttaqi person, a person who has taqwa. So he decided to test him. So he told him that, why don't we strike a deal? And he said that, you sell me one of the sheep or the goats of the flock, and I will pay you its price. And in this manner, you will benefit from its price, and I will benefit from the goat or the sheep along my journey. And as far as the owner of the flock is concerned, then that is not a major problem. All you have to do is you tell him that a wolf has devoured one of the sheep, and he will believe you. Because this area is infested with wolves. So it's not a problem at all. Upon hearing this, this very pious shepherd who had the ta'alluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, he instinctively exclaimed, Ya hadha fa'ayn Allah. Oh, definitely, oh person, yes, I may be able to deceive my master, the owner of this flock, but how will I face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was so pleased with this answer of his that he said that, O person, until people like you are living in this world, inshallah, no oppressor or no tyrant will be able to oppress another person. In other words, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, just in our context, we could say that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an gave us a prescription for the eradication of crime. This is actually a prescription for the eradication of crime. In other words, when no tyrant will oppress another person, there won't be any crime in this world. And this is exactly, and this is actually what the solution to the problem of crime is. Now this is a very big hue and cry that increase the police forces and increase this and increase that. Yes, that is necessary to a certain extent. But to what extent? What will the police force do? The most they can do is that if a person commits a crime in an inhabited area or they watch him committing the crime, they can stop him or they can reprimand him. But if a person is in the loneliness of a jungle, in the darkness of a night, and there's nobody to see him, and he wishes to commit a crime there, what is going to stop him? There is nothing at all besides this awareness that we have to be accountable for our actions, we have to be accountable for our deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is exactly what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inculcated in the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum. The Sahaba ikram had so much of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts that if they happened to commit a mistake, then they would be restless. They would not rest at all until and unless the prescribed punishment of that mistake was meted out to them. The incident of the Sahabiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha is very famous, wherein she insisted, continually insisted, time and again she insisted that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please mete out the punishment of zina upon me. And then eventually Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met out the punishment and gave her great glad tidings. In fact, this very verse that I've recited before you, although this verse has a very general application, some mufassirin mention that the reason for the revelation of this verse, the sabab-e-nuzul of this verse, is that once Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, was pondering over the scene of Qiyamah. He was pondering over how the scales of a'mal will be placed, and how the sun would lose its light, and how the very fierce and very scary scenes of the day of Qiyamah. And he was so overcome with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while pondering over this that he mentioned, and he said that, oh, how I wish I was some grass or some shrubs, and some animal came and devoured me, and that would be the end of me, so that I do not have to present myself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the condition of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an is that sahabi regarding whom there is ijma', there is consensus of the ummah that after the anbiya-i kiram, the greatest status is that of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And he is that sahabi who is the first of the ashara mubashara. In other words, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a guarantee of being, of entrance into Jannah in this world. And despite this, this is his condition. Just to conclude, Mufassireen explain, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention Jannatan? Two Jannats. What is the meaning of this two Jannats? So there are different explanations. One view is that it means that there will be one Jannat for a person's personal use, and where his friends and his associates will come and meet him. And there will be one garden of paradise for his wives and his servants. Another explanation is that there will be one garden of paradise in his palace in Jannah, and one garden of paradise outside his palace in Jannah. A third explanation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him, this person, one Jannah as the reward for his action, and grants him another Jannah just out of his fazal and just out of his bounty and his mercy. In other words, without any reward, he just grants him another Jannah. But the most beautiful explanation is what our Shaykh and Murshid, Hazrat Aqdas, Hazrat Muashah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, quotes from Ruhul Ma'ani, when Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that, وَقَالَتِ الصُّوفِيَّةِ جَنَّةٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِالْحُضُورِ مَعَ الْمَوْلَى. That what this means is that the awliya of Allah, the very close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are granted two jannats. One jannat in this world by the close proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, this world of theirs, because they are always close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are always crushing their evil desires. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them His close proximity. And this in itself is jannat. And jannatun fil uqba bi liqa'i al-mawla. And jannat in the akhirah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting them His vision and granting them the opportunity to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Aqdas, Hazrat Mu'a Yunus Patel Sahib Daman Barakatum Al-Aliyah, we hear a very beautiful couplet for him over and over. And it is very appropriate to mention it now that Unke rukh se niqaba juthegi aaj nazron ki mi'raj hogi. Inke rukh se niqaba juthegi aaj nazron ki mi'raj hogi. Muddaton ke baad ahle gham ko muskurane ki muhlat milegi. The crux and gist of which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant His very pious friends the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah. And that will be the time when those who took grief on their hearts for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, that will be the time when they will be able to smile in the hereafter. Allah ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala give me and give all of us ta'ala. Tawfiq of amal wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.